Yeah, we're skipping church too.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Who's more famous, Hillary or Bill Clinton? Because I was really thinking it would have been Bill. But in the break, I was reading this article by Sam Mellinger on KansasCity.com about the Chiefs drafting the quarterback. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Maybe we'll talk about that now, actually. And at the very bottom, there's some of those like garbage ads that are like, you know, this doctors hate this man. This is one cool trick that removes wrinkles forever. And there's another one that just says, Hillary and Bill Clinton's nephew, Tyler, just signed a major modeling contract. And I'm not going to click it, and I don't care. I don't even know if it's real. None of that matters. But it led with Hillary. And that feels surprising to me. Because Bill Clinton was actually the president. Welcome to Sports Sunday. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Charlie Carlin is running the board. We're here with you from 9 to noon on Sundays. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe and tell me how much you hate whenever we come back from segments. Or you can tweet at CCarlinKC. And tell him that Josh Jackson is going to totally come back to KU. There was a Masters update in SportsCenter, and it reminded me that I don't care about the Masters, and I never really have. Like, my dad never cared about golf. I never got that. Charlie said that yesterday he took the fattest nap during the Masters.
That's like my tradition for Saturday at the Masters. Because, like, Sunday is worth watching last round. You know, you want to watch the last few. But
I
Saturday,
mean, maybe.
The third round, it's perfect. It was great.
It's perfect nap time.
Yeah.
I'm yawning thinking about it. What's the one that's on Father's Day? The tournament? What's the golf tournament that's usually on Father's Day?
That's a good question.
You don't US know?
Open? U.S. Open, maybe?
I mean, probably.
Remember.
I'm going to Google golf, Father's Day now. That is the sleepiest sporting event on the planet. I still don't know which one it is, and someone's probably going to call and be like, it's the U.S. Open, you dummy! And I was like, all right, thank you. I don't really care. But the golf event that ends up finishing on Father's Day, that is the sleepiest sporting event on the planet, narrowly followed by every other golf event. But I was reading this article from Sam Mellinger on KansasCity.com, and I think there's a lot of interesting things going on with the Chiefs right now and with the NFL draft coming up, and we'll talk some more Royals later on also. And hopefully in the third hour we'll talk to Brandon Kiley about Mizzou. So there's a lot to touch on still in today's show. Also, the Patriots have a policy that I think is like laughable considering the context. Tony Romo retired and is going to CBS now. A lot of football this hour, I think. If I can breathe. Honestly, I'm having a hard time breathing again, as I mentioned in the first hour. I think I doubled up on my allergy drugs. And at this point, it's almost too bad to speak sometimes. Like, I just like hit the cough button and just hack out a lung like this. Oh, my, Steve. I can't make that up. Like, what are you going to do whenever you're the only person talking, you're the one-man show? Charlie's over there tweeting. I'm about to sneeze. What am I going to do other than just sneeze into the microphone? And Fairness Forever hosts next. I sneezed off the microphone. I think this is where Stephen is going to be sitting in like 8 hours. Stephen, I know you're not listening, but I did not sneeze into the microphone, I promise. Anyway. Mellinger's story that came out a couple days ago is called The Chiefs Should Draft a Quarterback, But Gulp, What If They Do? And he has a hashtag TLDR version at the top of his column, which shows just how hip and cool Sam Mellinger is. And he said, here's a TLDR version, which for some of you who are less memed, it stands for too long, didn't read. So if you say this article is TLDR, it's too long, you didn't read it, but you want the TLDR summary.
That's the most millennial hashtag whatever.
It really is. Yeah. It's perfect. It's perfect. I love it. I have it tattooed, actually.
Oh, it's too long. I'm not going to read that.
I have it
thing.
Tattooed under my collarbone. Because it's just something that I use to drive my life. yeah, there's too much information in this long form thing. I need it, and it's basically saying, give me the tweet sized version of this like column you've written. And you know, I try not to be a part of that. I like to, you know, represent an entire story, but I don't have time right now. So here's the TLDR version of Sam Mellinger's story. Alex Smith is limited and about to turn 33. This draft class is generally talented, but players are thought to need a year to learn. The Chiefs are supremely qualified to give a young quarterback that year, own extra draft picks to help make a trade if necessary, and could save $17 million in cap space by cutting Smith after this season. I now pivot to my own personal opinion. Yeah. Yeah, all that. That's the whole story. But there are some really, really insecure Chiefs takes that I've heard lately. And also some fair counter arguments. So I want to take those on. First, the Chiefs aren't taking a guard. Calm down. It's not going to happen. They're not going to take an offensive lineman in the first round. Even as like kind of a joke, I've gotten to the point of being annoyed with that take. Because it's not just like silly and wrong, it's ignorant now. Because the Chiefs have paid their offensive line. They paid Mitchell Schwartz, they paid Eric Fisher, they paid LDT. Parker Anger was a high draft pick. I can't remember. I think he was third round pick. I'll figure it out. And Mitch Morris in the middle, high draft pick, and has been very good. Parker Anger was a fourth-round pick and looked good until he got injured. The Chiefs are not going to spend a first-round pick to replace Parker Anger, who, again, looked pretty good before he got injured. Especially with Zach Fulton on the roster still. Parker Anger's not good enough? Fine, then Zach Fulton will be good enough. And there's a great chance to take another guard in the fourth or fifth round. That's fine. You want to build that interior offensive line depth? Fine by me. I think Zach Fulton's a free agent after this season. They're probably not going to be able to sign him because he should probably get a starting job somewhere. So you want to get your next Zach Fulton? Awesome, man. Go for it. But they're not drafting an offensive lineman in the first round. And Charlie, you can like cut that sound so whenever they do, you can go back to it. Like, I'm willing to have that on the record, this whole thing. I'm thoroughly confident no offensive linemen are going in the first round for the Chiefs. Stop worrying about it. Stop thinking about it. Okay? Starting right now. We're done with it. But there are some non-quarterback options that I think are reasonable things to be concerned about, to wonder about, etc. CBS Sports has all of their experts doing mock drafts, and experts is loose. This is worse than predicting the Oscars. Like, there's virtually zero predictability. Apparently, Myles Garrett's going number one overall. And everyone's like, yep, that's what's happening. And then after that, everyone's like, well, the Browns will probably end up taking a quarterback of their first-round pick. But some people have them trading up, and some people have them waiting, and maybe the Texans trade up. No one knows anything. No one knows anything. Now, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Mike Mayock, like your experts, whatever, WalterFootball.com, they know their college football players. And also, they know their NFL teams pretty well, too. That's not what I'm arguing. I'm not saying that they're unqualified to talk about these players or these teams. They're certainly not. But they are unqualified to predict what these teams are going to do. Usually, I get kind of annoyed with, like, prediction talk. Because it's always silly. Like, you just don't really know. So I try to help, if we're gonna preview games or the draft or whatever, I'll try to ideally help you be prepared for what we're about to watch. And it'll usually get punctuated with a prediction just because that's what we do. They can say, oh, I think the Chiefs are going to win, or I think the Royals are going to go win 85 games this year, whatever. But we all know it doesn't actually mean anything. Because if you get three or four first-round picks exactly right, you get the player and the team and the slot exactly right, you're doing some really great guesswork. And that's really what it is. So I'm not investing deeply in the individual players and the picks and all that because it's all a crapshoot. But the quote-unquote experts on CBS Sports, they had a sort of interesting spread picked for the Chiefs. One guy had him taking an inside linebacker. There are three outside linebackers listed. And then a defensive lineman and one running back being Dalvin Cook. And all of those picks have their reasons to make sense. I'm concerned about the health and the effectiveness of Justin Houston. D. Ford has gone after this year. I'm concerned about the health and effectiveness of him. Tamba Hali's gone after this season. He's not good anymore. Like, period. The Chiefs are going to need another pass rusher next year. They might need two. They might need three. That is the one spot on this team that I think may just have the best chance at having a first-round non-quarterback pick. Because the Chiefs have shown a propensity to do exactly this, where they say, oh man, we're about a year away from having a real deficiency. We've got to cover it. They didn't draft Marcus Peters to be the second guy next to Sean Smith. They drafted him to spend a year as the second guy next to Sean Smith and then to take over for Sean Smith. That's just sort of the formula. Eric Fisher was drafted to ultimately take the place of Brandon Albert. Dontari Poe needed to fill a gap in the roster, but that's very typical. D. Ford, I think you could have argued, was drafted to replace Tamba Hali, but D. Ford didn't grow quickly enough, and Tamba Hali was still outplaying D. Ford for those first couple of years. That seems to be the strategy, though, that John Dorsey is inclined to take. Let's find the guy that replaces the guy that's going to be gone after this season. And maybe, hopefully be better, and certainly be a better value. That's kind of the whole system there. And it makes a lot of sense for outside linebacker. Because also, unless you find a guy who smoked weed right before the combine, Justin Houston, that's not what happened. Whatever. Smoked weed and we shouldn't have been smoking weed. Then you're going to almost always have to go to the first round to find that talent. There's a very loud car outside that was very distracting because, again, I'm a squirrel. I'm a squirrel that can speak into a microphone. Tamba Hali, first round pick. D. Ford, first round pick. Justin Houston would have been if it wasn't for the quote unquote character issues, which seems so silly now. Also, hashtag free Josh Gordon. That's an aside. You're going to try to get an elite pass rusher. You're probably going to have to do it in the first round. So that's a play, and maybe even trade up to do so. This is going to be the thing that makes half of Chiefs fans blindly furious. The Chiefs are going to trade up to like 12. They're going to sell their whole draft, trade up to like 12, and then they're going to draft the pass rusher, and people are going to freak out because they want a quarterback. And I understand that. But outside linebacker is the place where I could see them going in the first round or even trading up in the first round to make sure they get their guy because they've got to replace Tamba, almost certainly have to replace D. Ford, might have to replace Justin Houston. That's rough, man. That's a lot of work to do. And if they don't do that in the first round, they're going to be doing it certainly very soon after. And whoever goes in the second or third round is going to be labeled as like the supposed heir to the throne of Tamba Hali, and it's going to be a hard sell whenever that guy is a third round pick. But that one makes sense. Inside linebacker, I think the Chiefs are actually at a slightly better position than most people would think. Yes, Derek Johnson got hurt again. Yes, he's only got 1 year left, I would think, even if he can make it through this season. But Justin March Lillard has shown some really good things. I think Ramique Wilson and even DJ Alexander all have some at least an argument to be made for being good depth guys in the middle. Josh Malga helps out that whole linebacker group. I think the Chiefs have more flexibility at inside linebacker than you might think. Now, if you want to get your next Derek Johnson, you're right. It probably has to be in the first round. However, if you're going to be able to find a guy in the second round that ends up being a 10-year starter, I think your inside linebacker being that guy makes a lot of sense. It's not going to be Derek Johnson. It's not going to be Luke Kuechly, a guy who you can put in the middle of the defense and just tears bleep up. but you can get a five-year starter later in the draft, especially because of Bob Sutton. We'll come back to that a little bit later, though. The defensive lineman, I don't think is happening. I think we forget how good Jay Howard and Alan Bailey have been, and now Benny Logan's in the middle. I think the defensive line is in pretty good shape. All of it for basically 1 year. Logan's on a one-year deal, and I think Howard is a free agent after this year. I think Bailey has 2 years left on his deal. So again, refilling a future need, refilling next year's need, I get it. That's why the Chiefs should be packaging. They have 10 picks. The Chiefs have 10 picks. They don't have 10 roster spots. They've got a good, talented roster already. Those 10 picks should turn into 5 really good higher picks. Trade up and find your usefulness as you can move up. Find guys you can really count on. Find your inside linebacker. Find an outside linebacker. Find your defensive line fill-ins to develop this year and then step in next year. But also for CBSSports.com, a guy named RJ White put together a pretty interesting first round. He was also mocking trades, which I think, and again, this is not interesting because he might be right. He's not going to be right. But it's interesting because I think this is a way that we can see some teams being aggressive, some teams not being aggressive, and it plays out very interestingly just for the quarterbacks, which is all I really care about at this point. So he has the Browns trading up to 6 for Mitch Trubisky. Has the Texans trading up to 12 for Pat Mahomes. Has the Jets getting Deshaun Watson down at number 25 after trading down. And then the Chiefs getting Deshaun Kizer at 27. Those are your 4 first-round quarterbacks. Now, what makes me very interested in all of this is, man, if I could ask Andy Reid one question and get a totally truthful answer, it might actually be like, how much money have you spent on Hawaiian shirts? I love Andy Reid's Hawaiian shirts. Not even like ironically, like I just love them. I have plenty of Hawaiian shirts and I envy Andy Reid's wardrobe. Anyway, I think the question I would actually ask him at this point is, who is the quarterback that you want? Who is it? The guy that's best fit for your system, the guy that you see is most talented, the guy that if you want to tie the future of your team to one of these guys, which one are you picking? And then also perhaps how badly do you want to do that? But we're going to get that answer either way. Because if Mitch Trubisky is far and away the guy the Chiefs want and they're afraid that guys 2 through 4 aren't going to be good enough, they have the ammunition to go up to 6. It would cost a lot. It would cost this year's first and this year's second and this year's third and next year's first. Something. It would be a haul. But they could do it if they felt like that drop-off was that gigantic. I've heard plenty of things as of late about Deshaun Watson making a ton of sense for the Chiefs, how he seems like Alex Smith coming out of college. But before you, like, don't gag on that. He seemed like Alex Smith coming out of college before Alex Smith was ruined by 75 different offensive coordinators in his first 2 seasons. Alex Smith was given a really tough hand in the first 3 years of his career, at least. Like, Alex Smith didn't have a good situation until Harbaugh showed up. So you get, like, an untainted Alex Smith. And again, cheaply, as I've talked about, it's been a while since I've talked about this on this show, but maybe, I don't know, a month ago, I was doing a lot of talking about how value is of the utmost importance in the NFL. If you can be paying your quarterback $2 million instead of $17 million or $20 million, that frees up your ability to go buy your inside linebacker, to go buy your number 2 corner, to go buy your defensive lineman that you need. The flexibility that comes with a cheap quarterback is unbelievable. And that's why I think the Colts missed their window. That's why I think the Raiders have a couple of year window. But they're gonna have to pay Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. The Chiefs have to pay Alex Smith and Justin Houston, and it's not working. But I think if you get Alex Smith production for $15, $17 million less, this team looks pretty damn good. If you can get Joe Flacco rookie contract production out of a guy, you can win the Super Bowl with that. It's surprising when that happens. It takes a really fantastic defense, but you can afford to build that defense whenever you have a cheap quarterback. And as I mentioned earlier on, whenever I talked about how the Royals are being surprisingly transparent about their willingness to shift to a focus on power, we're at a place now where the Chiefs are going to take a quarterback. And I think they're being surprisingly clear about it. Jason Luck and Forrest summarized that the Chiefs have had meetings with Watson, Kaiser, Mahomes, among others. I think they've met with Brad Kaya, maybe Josh Dobbs. If there's a college quarterback in this draft that's been talked about in the first five rounds, the Chiefs have talked to him. So that's one element of just telegraphing who you're looking at. The other thing is the Chiefs don't have a backup quarterback. It's just Alex Smith and Tyler Bray. The Chiefs are not going into 2017 with Tyler Bray backing up Alex Smith. That's not good for 2017. That's not good for 2018. That's just not good. That is bad. That is bad news for now, for next year, forevermore. Because you're not developing Tyler Bray into a starter. That ship has sailed. And you do not want to be stuck with $20 million of Alex Smith next year. Especially whenever you could save $17 million by cutting him. Alex Smith cannot be on this team next year. Having him start this year is fine. But he cannot be on this team next season. It's just not going to work. So now I think the only question is when will the Chiefs draft a quarterback? Not will they draft a quarterback, but when is the quarterback going to come? And I think we can run through a process of elimination. I've already given you the alternatives. Linebacker spots, defensive line, running back. You have Tony Romo and Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. Those guys were later picks. Beyond those guys, getting a starting caliber quarterback beyond the second round is just about impossible. Because you've got those four. You got Kurt Warner. But that cannot be prescriptive. Because if that was prescriptive, you would go through a grocery store and find the guys stocking shelves and just have them start throwing footballs for you. That's ridiculous. That's not prescriptive. It's lucky. I mean, also think about how lucky the Cowboys got twice in a row. That's infuriating. Romo and Prescott. Like, back-to-back. Like, at least the Packers were trying with Favre and Rodgers. But outside of those guys, then you start getting Kevin Hogan and Aaron Murray and 100 guys like him. And the Chiefs have needs at linebacker and running back, but something that we've got to consider here. Bob Sutton and Andy Reid are both really good at getting guys that fit their systems and then making the most out of them. Give me linebackers, give me running backs in the second and third round, and I think Sutton and Andy Reid have the ability to make them look like better values than they were there. You don't need Adrian Peterson in an Andy Reid offense. You need versatile guys, and you need guys who can pick up short yardage. You don't have to pay for that at pick 27. Or trade up for that guy. Now, were the Cowboys better off by having Ezekiel Elliott last year? Of course they were. Would it be great for the future first-year starter next year for the Chiefs quarterback, whoever that ends up being? Would he be better off having Leonard Fournette behind him? Of course he would. But you're not going to have that quarterback if you have that running back. And I think Andy Reid is better equipped than Jason Garrett to make a backfield of Spencer Ware, who looked surprisingly good in Andy Reid's system last year, but surprisingly bad in short yardage situations. You give me Spencer Ware and a true power back, or just the guy that Andy Reid wants in the third round, because there's going to be a guy that just isn't a complete back. That's what happens. As the draft goes on, it's guys who don't create plays as often as the guys in the first round and guys who are not as complete. Bob Sutton and Andy Reid can cover up for deficiencies in players. You just put them in the right spot. Again, Justin March Lillard, looked really good for large portions of last season. It's not because he has the talent of Derek Johnson. It's because he's got some strengths. And Bob Sutton knows how to maximize a guy's strengths and minimize a guy's weaknesses. He's so good at it that I would be concerned if I was any other organization signing a defensive player leaving the Chiefs. That's how worried I would be. And that's how highly I think of what Bob Sutton can do with these players. Same goes for Andy Reid. I wouldn't want much of an Andy Reid running back after Andy Reid. Unless you're running a similar West Coast offense. You find the guys that work for you. You find the guys later on. And you can cheat that. You can't cheat quarterback. The Chiefs have to go quarterback round one or two, and I think they're going to. And I'm as shocked as anyone to hear myself saying that. But I think they know they're going to be drafting a quarterback in the first two rounds because they have to. They can't go in the next year with just Alex Smith and nothing planned for the future. Because if they do that, the next year they're going to go pay... Not even Colin Kaepernick, because he'll be getting money somewhere else. They're going to go be paying the next Ryan Fitzpatrick or the next Alex Smith to come in and get paid too much to be a value and to perform too low to be a threat. That is purgatory. That's the purgatory the Chiefs have been trapped in. So it's time for them to draft a quarterback, and they've been very clear about it. They didn't go try to make a campaign to bring back Chase Daniel. They didn't try to keep Nick Foles. It's just Tyler Brand, Alex Smith on this roster, and there's a spot for another guy there. And I don't think they're going to be trying to roll out Jay Cutler at any point. I'm very curious to see who the Chiefs actually have the highest grade on as far as quarterbacks. I think we might get a pretty honest assessment of that, considering that they have the ammo to move up. And if they don't move up, then I think what we'll see is they thought they were all pretty close together. If they end up with DeShone Kizer at 27, I think it's going to be because they have determined, you know what, it's not worth trading our second and third round pick to jump over the Texans or the Jets who have traded back or whatever to make sure we get DeShone Watson. It's not worth it. They're all the same. All these guys have a flaw that we can work with. And that's going to be. I think Andy Reid, at the very least, has certain flaws that he's more willing to work with than others. We've seen that with Alex Smith even. I know that for a fact. Of course, Andy Reid is willing to work with a quarterback who doesn't have the greatest arm but will make good decisions. However, interestingly enough, the guy that they've been trying to develop for the last 4 years is the exact opposite. Tyler Bray has a cannon. Smith called it yesterday the Bray K-47. Tyler Bray has a cannon and doesn't seem to have ever caught on to the NFL game. Or at the very least, he's hugely inaccurate. And Andy Reid seems to value a smart quarterback who's accurate and doesn't care all that much about arm strength. So what that makes me think is that maybe Andy Reid's ready to surprise us a little bit. Where he's still going to value that accuracy, having your head in the game. But man, I do think Andy Reid wants to have that quarterback who can also really move the ball. I've started to regress a little bit on my opinions about this offense last year. To where we saw a self-limiting Andy Reid. We saw a guy who was holding himself back because he didn't want to ask Alex Smith to do things he couldn't do, even though I do think Alex Smith was still underutilized last year. The Chiefs are drafting a quarterback in the first two rounds. I have no idea when or who it's going to be. This is Sports Radio.
This is Sports Sunday.
When I talked about the Chiefs and Colin Kaepernick, you guys loved it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
The comment thread had 183 instances of the word no. No freaking way. Won't even read the article. Wasted enough time typing this response.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
810 should be banned from radio.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday. Apparently Kendrick has an album coming out like 5 days, like Thursday, I think. You know I'm supposed to be out? I love the song. It's so good. Welcome back to Sports Sunday. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Charlie Carlin on the other side of the glass. I feel like I've exhausted all of my Chiefs draft takes, but there's a couple other things in the NFL that have been going on these last in this last week or so that I think is really interesting. First of all, there was a report that came out that the Patriots are not going to consider drafting Joe Mixon, which that statement's fine, but it's because they supposedly have a no-tolerance policy for domestic violence, which is also fine. In and of itself, I think a team is allowed to have to take that moral stand. But it probably shouldn't be you guys, Patriots. Like the Patriots who just interviewed Adrian Peterson, which if the like whipping of his child wasn't enough. Wasn't violent enough for the Patriots, I guess. Wasn't domestic violence-y enough to not consider Adrian Peterson. Or like all of the questions around Aaron Hernandez upon drafting him. A lot of red flags there. But if it's not domestic violence, you're cool. It's a really weird place to make a definitive moral stand. To say that this one issue, we have a zero tolerance policy for this thing. But not similar things, directly related things, or unrelated things, but also bad stuff. Like Michael Floyd, who the Patriots signed going into the playoffs. Remember that? Remember when Cardinals wide receiver Michael Floyd was released from the Cardinals? Because I believe he was picked up by a police officer who found him asleep at a green light because he had passed out from drunkenness. By the way, the only way you're asleep at a green light is whenever you're driving a car. Michael Floyd melted a breathalyzer. Patriots are interested in him going into the playoffs. Need some wide receiver help? All right, that's fine. Michael Floyd was insanely drunk whilst driving. You sign that guy. Now again, I'm not saying that you're not allowed to sign people who have done bad things. I don't think that you should have to take Joe Mixon off your board. You didn't have to take Tyreek Hill off your board. You don't have to not sign Michael Floyd. But that's so blindingly inconsistent. To say we're going to take this guy who could have easily killed several people behind the wheel of a car while being mostly alcohol. We're going to bring that guy in to help our receiving core. But we're not going to consider Joe Mixon because of domestic violence. But we are interviewing Adrian Peterson, who left, gashes on the back of his little kid's legs. And we drafted Aaron Hernandez, who had some concerns coming into the draft. I don't have a problem with moral stances. I have a problem with hypocritical ones. And that's what the Patriots have just walked into here. They volunteer that they're not interested in Joe Mixon. Get a nice pat on their own back. Everybody pats it for them. And Michael Floyd melted a breathalyzer. He was just chugging rubbing alcohol at that point. Again, either make your moral stance or don't, but be consistent. I'm fine with the Chiefs having Tyreek Hill on the team. Also, like, don't praise him for having done everything right so far when what you mean by that is hasn't beaten any other women. Just be consistent. Admit what you're doing. Be aware of what you're doing. And run with it. Tyreek Hill's on the Chiefs, not because he's a redeemed man, but because he's really good at football. He's very fast. He's on the Chiefs for that reason. I'm cool with it. Joe Mixon's going to be a second or third round draft pick in all likelihood because he's really good at football. I'm cool with it. And again, the video of Joe Mixon would have looked like absolutely nothing compared to the video that we don't have from Tyreek Hill's conviction, his incident. I mean, if that video existed, he wouldn't be in the league. Joe Mixon's still going to be a higher draft pick. But for the Patriots, I was frustrated. I was annoyed with the Patriots, like, having this honorable and self-sacrificial moral stance about domestic violence, having a no-tolerance policy, zero tolerance towards domestic violence, but not towards a kid, or not a situation that very easily could have led to vehicular violence because of a drunk driver that you employed for a month last year after being released for that thing. If you want to give him a pass to Aaron Hernandez, that's fine. You can do that because they didn't know that he had murdered people when they drafted him. Although, again, there were character issues. Like, Aaron Hernandez and Justin Houston both had character issues going into the draft. But I digress. I was left frustrated by that. Tony Romo retired. I didn't see that coming. It makes some sense now, but I did not see that coming. And now Tony Romo's going to get a fat paycheck to not get hit by giant men. I get it. I mean, he might not make less money this year than he would have playing football. And I also understand that, you know, there's something about playing football that you can't replicate in the booth. But you can replicate that paycheck if you're the number one color commentator for CBS, which is what Tony Romo is supposedly going to be. And like Bonnie Bernstein tweeted about this situation and said, Tony Romo, with zero broadcast experience, reportedly replacing Phil Simms on CBS's number one NFL game crew. No offense, but that's total crap. You do mean offense. Just own it. But no offense, but that's total crap. Here's why I'm not in any way beside myself about this Romo and Phil Simms toss-up. One, Phil Simms hasn't been particularly good for a while. In fact, one of my favorite Twitter accounts during football season is something like Phil Simms quotes or Phil Simms tweets or whatever. It's something like that. You can look it up if you care. And they just tweet things that Phil Simms says on any given Sunday. It's amazing. Is that there's always new things like, wow, I can't believe he said that. Phil Simms, who, of course, was qualified for that job because he was an NFL quarterback. And you're right. Tony Romo isn't a trained broadcaster. But that's a job that you can do if you understand football. And it's a job that is basically there to cater to a name. Phil Simms and Troy Aikman were the top color commentators for CBS and Fox, respectively. Now it's Romo and Aikman. Why does this seem unprecedented? Maybe because he's going straight from football to the number one crew? Romo isn't going to make more people watch the games. So it's not like a ratings chasing, because if you care about Tony Romo calling a game, you're going to be watching that game anyway. Or at least you're going to be checking in anyway. Football fans are already watching the number one game of the week. Unless their local game is on. In which case, Tony Romo or Phil Simms, it's not really going to change if you watch or not. It might change your enjoyment, though. Maybe if you really didn't like Phil Simms. Maybe you can find something exciting about Romo being the color guy. But other quarterbacks have been doing this. I don't think I can totally wrap my head around the outrage. If you wanted to make an argument for a way to change things up in the booth, to try to get more people to watch, then you do the Bill Walton thing, which I know you guys hated. I know KU fans hated seeing the crown jewels desecrated by a clown doing the color commentary. The court jester was allowed in the palace. But if you want to, like, have a larger reaching broadcast, you see if Louis C.K. wants to do color commentary. Like, that's just, we've talked about that before. Or you can bring in just celebrities that know the team. You can switch it up for the local games. You can bring in Mark Wahlberg, and you have Mark Wahlberg and Jim Nantz during a Patriots game if you want. I don't care for that. I think Tony Romo's going to be just fine. He's a big name who's just out of the game. I don't understand why that's not qualification enough, as it was qualification enough for Tony, for Troy Aikman, for Phil Simms, Dan Fouts. I'm just trying to think of Trent Green. And Trent Green's good. I really like Trent Green doing games. I liked him during Chiefs preseason games. I like him doing nationals. I think Trent Green does a great job. I don't think he was in broadcasting school between his retirement and getting the color commentary gigs. So I'm not apoplectic about Tony Romo either. Whenever we come back, we will talk about Jeremy Guthrie's no good, very bad day. This is Sports Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday.
When I talked about the Chiefs and Colin Kaepernick, you guys loved it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
No way. Smith is doing just fine. Give him some weapons to throw to. That one was actually the most offensive one to me.
On Sports Radio 810.
And my own personal favorite, consider sticking your head in an oven.
WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday. I'm Joshua Briscoe with my head firmly planted in the nearest oven at all times. Jeremy Guthrie had a really bad birthday. He got the start for the Washington Nationals on his 38th birthday. And it went poorly. It was his first start since 2015, and it was record-breaking. But not in a good way. For example, according to ESPN Stats and Info, Jeremy Guthrie is the first starter in Nationals Expos history to allow 10 runs, excuse me, and not make it out of the first inning. Guthrie is the fifth starting pitcher since the mound was moved to its current distance in 1893 to allow 10 runs and not get out of the first inning. He's been around for 13 years, Jeremy Guthrie. This might be the most amazing stat. This is my second favorite stat. Jeremy Guthrie has been in baseball for 13 years. And the Phillies did so much damage in that first inning that his career ERA rose from 4.37 to 4.42. Jeremy Guthrie's ERA yesterday was 135. He gave up 10 runs in 0.2 innings. All of them earned. Oh, poor Jeremy Guthrie. In the third hour of Sports Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit of Mizzou and whatever else comes across the line. We've got some Royals to discuss as well that I've been teasing since the first hour, but I promise we'll eventually get to the rest of that. I'm going to just keep staring at this stat line over the break, I think. 913-3810-810 if you want to talk about whatever's on your mind, as long as it's the NFL draft. Sports Sunday.